Art of Vino's Desert Crossing is proud to host Love Lines, a solo art exhibition by Jennifer Hill. Love Lines explores graphic possibilities, daydreams, and other ruminations. Artwork will feature a series of large sumi ink drawings on paper that explore sleep, love, and hieroglyphics. We are all invited on Thursday, April 22nd for the opening reception of Love Lines, a solo art exhibition by Jennifer Hill. Here to tell us all about it is artist Jennifer Hill. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thank you.
So, Jennifer, you were saying that you've been a part of several group shows, but this is your first solo show?
Yes, my first solo show in El Paso. That's right.
And how's it feeling?
It's good. I'm very excited to show in that space. I think the pieces are going to look great in there. I feel really good about it.
And ink, has that always been your medium, or is that what you're deciding to share with us this time around?
I have always liked to do stuff on ink. I'd never just expanded it to that size before. These are really sizable pieces, like 42 inches by 33, a lot of them.
And oh, wow.
So they're large for the most part. And I used some colored inks. Some of them are not sumi. It's mostly sumi ink. But I've been an oil painter mostly in watercolor. I do some sculpture, did a little bit of film, you know, kind of a lot of...
A little bit of everything.
But mostly painting. I mean, I was a painting major in college, and then I had a concentration in film and installation too. But I do mostly painting, but for the past couple of years, I just decided to solely work on paper because my studio was a mess. It's a disaster.
Right. So you do what you can, right? I mean,
right.
Part of it is you get
living
creative.
Room table. Yeah.
So why sumi ink?
I really like it. It's very thick. It's really viscous, and it's got a more natural look to me. It's kind of got a little bit of a little glossy. It's got some texture to it. I mean, I know it sounds odd to say that about ink, but there is some...
No, there's watery kind
Yeah, of... there's some that are just really flat. Mm-hmm. This one has sort of a little bit of a personality.
And I also noticed you shared with us, I did see a lot of your ink pieces, but then you have these really cool geometric pieces. Will you be showing those as well?
I will. Those are ink pieces too, actually.
Really?
Yeah. All of the ones that I sent you were ink. Even ones that look kind of like chalk and magic marker, they're not. Some of them are, they're all ink, and there's a couple that have some chalk on them too.
So we're on the radio. I think it's important that we describe, because you're right. There's some that have these really intricate lines, very intricate patterns, and then there are these cool geometric kind of solid patterns.
Yes.
Will you talk about us, you know, kind of describe, take us through the motions, and then I guess really how you make the ink look different within the two pieces, because the geometric pieces really don't look like ink.
Yeah, they don't. The reason I had mentioned in the promotional piece that it was sort of about graphic possibility and exploring that, I really kind of wanted to try absolutely all aspects of doing the ink in terms of design, and whether it was free form. Some of them are very free form. I start at the bottom of the page and just whatever comes into my mind, whether it's a little animal or it's a house or some weird frondy thing. I just sort of built these layers of little landscapes, one on top of the other, in some of the pieces. And then the other ones, I wanted to play with more minimal lines and space and just on that scale, try it out. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed doing those a lot. And those, I add more color, as you may have noticed. There's some that are like bright turquoise stripes and yellow stripes and rust-colored stripes.
And yet, kind of how you said, oddly enough, they all work very well together.
They do. It's weird. It's sort of like they lead from one to the other. There's sort of a progression, which you can see as you look around. I'm probably going to hang them like that so you can kind of see how they evolved, really.
So you're also exploring sleep and hieroglyphics. How do they come into the picture?
Well, those pieces I just described that started at the bottom of the page and worked their way up, I was thinking a lot about sleeping and dreaming. And when you're sleeping next to somebody or even sleeping by yourself, just the dreaming process, actually was specifically thinking about when you're sleeping next to somebody, because you wonder, like, if your dreams kind of intersect at some point in the night, like if your spirits kind of come together and if you have any kind of shared symbols and just the symbology of your dreams, like you have these things that are repetitive and these shapes that are sort of repetitive in your dreams. I do anyway. You know, I have places that I go to That I've never been to in my waking life, but I have places that I go to in my dreams.
Very familiar places. Yeah. So I take it you're one of these people that then remembers their dreams.
Mostly. Lately, I haven't been remembering so many, but for most of my life, yes, I remember them kind of in graphic detail.
And then is that then the instinct? Do you then also transpose the dream into a drawing, or is it more the idea of what if?
These pieces are more like the hypnagogic state and also the sleep state where you're kind of just floating and it's these little ideas and images and visions can shift into something else really quickly. Mm. One of the pieces, which I didn't send you a picture of, is all on scratchboard actually. And it's just these shapes that I noticed that I was continually drawn to. I used to hike a lot and I would pick up these rocks that had these same shapes. And after a year of hiking, I had this collection of these rocks, and I thought, wow, that's really interesting because I am repeatedly drawn to these shapes. I'm thinking about things kind of intensely as I'm hiking along, and I thought, okay, it's why these shapes, mm-hmm. you know? So then I started to explore shapes like that, which made me think about hieroglyphics, which is shapes to define language, and that's where that came in.
So it seems like trying to define, okay, what happens in the dreams? What happens if they intersect? What do these symbols mean? Have mm-hmm. you figured out what they mean? I mean, these rocks are real.
Right. No, I haven't. But I just think it's really interesting that shape can be like another language. Mm-hmm. And there's this artist, Ellsworth Kelly, and he does these very sophisticated shapes that look incredibly simple. And a lot of people look at them and think, anybody could do that.
Right, I could do that, no problem.
But it's not. Right. It's like, it's very subtle and it's really, really a sophisticated process to get a shape that actually evokes something in somebody looking at it. You know, like yeah. a shape that has some kind of human element to it, which is kind of indescribable. It's hard to describe.
So you spend your time, a lot of your time around books.
Yes.
Will you tell
yes,
us
I
about
do.
That?
Well, I love to read and I love to just browse books. But yes, I work at the Texas Tech College of Architecture Library. I'm the librarian there and the writing lab director. So I do look at a lot of the books in the El Paso Museum of Art Library because that's where our library is housed.
That is such a beautiful space. And, yeah. I can see how you can get, I mean, talk about getting lost in shapes there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, architecture is also about shape, mm-hmm. you know, and I love the intersection of art and architecture. So you know, forms and voids and shapes, and it all kind of flows together. And hopefully this show will kind of demonstrate that, like as you go around from the geometric stuff to the more organic drawings, you'll see a little bit more of what I'm talking about.
And you said your focus primarily was in painting when you started.
Yes.
What other mediums have you dabbled in?
I like doing sculpture too. Although I'm not as well-versed in sculpture as I'd like to be. I worked in a cabinet shop for a while, too, and a refinisher shop, so I know a little bit about constructing furniture. But I never really got it quite as far as I wanted. Mm. Not feel 100% comfortable with a table saw, things like that.
I mean, it's intimidating.
It is, especially because it's so easy to hurt yourself on one of those things.
And what
so.
About thinking three-dimensionally? Does that ever kind of cause a problem, or is that not the issue, really?
You mean in terms of?
I mean, just kind of thinking about sculpture and how it comes together. For some people, I think it's easier to make that shape come out.
Oh, yeah.
And for some, it's trying to force a 2D into a 3D, and it just doesn't
yeah,
work.
Yeah, yeah, it's hard. Some of the things that I've actually wanted to build, I find almost impossible. And there was a piece that I wanted to enter into the biennial that I was talking to a friend of mine about. I said, I just can't figure this thing out. And she was like, well, just don't try to draw it sitting on anything. Uh-huh. She said, draw it just floating in space and just try to make the planes connect because it was a really complicated shape. And that was helpful, but I still haven't gotten it totally worked out yet.
Well, good. But, we've got some time. I mean, yeah, we've got this show. It's your
exactly.
first solo show here in El Paso. So maybe the next one will have
maybe it'll
all
be
of
sculpture.
Those pieces. Yes,
yeah.
You never know.
It's true.
So tell us about your show and the details and how we can get everybody there to see it.
Okay. It's April 21st at Artivino's Desert Crossing, and it's from 5 to 9, and it's going to be up until at least September 1st. I'm not sure if they're extending it through September, but it should be a great show.
And I think the other important piece to let people know is that everything is for sale.
Yes, everything's
so
for sale.
Come with your mind possibly ready to welcome a new piece into your home.
Yes,
I firmly believe that they talk to you, and if you meet one that needs to come home with you, you can take one of Jennifer's pieces home.
That's right.
And then I guess there'll be a lot of talking about dreams and symbols. And
well, we'll see. I mean, you know, I don't know if that's really going to, if people really see that when they're looking at it or not. You know, it doesn't really matter. It just sort of, to me, it's, that was what I was thinking about as I did it. Like, you probably would look at them and not imagine that I was thinking about those things.
Right. But you never know.
Right.
But there is one way to find out. You can go check out Jennifer Hill's show. It's called Love Lines, and it's going to be at Artavino's Desert Crossing. It opens this Thursday, April 21st at 5 p.m. With an opening reception that Jennifer will be at.
Yes.
And come with an open mind and see if one of the pieces calls your name. Today, my guest has been artist Jennifer Hill. Thank you so much for coming to State of the Arts.
Thank you for having me.